Mini episode 128 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by the Pullins Group, delivering public affairs consulting and marketing services for small businesses trying to grow. Follow them on the web at PullinsGroup.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, this is FDH Managing Partner Rick Morris welcoming you to one of the six Lounge mini-episodes that comprise the sixth edition of the FDH Lounge Pantheon. I am joined by some of our finest FDH Lounge dignitaries for this occasion. The Pantheon is our celebration of the best from all walks of life. All previous FDH Lounge Pantheon inductees can be found on our homepage at thefdhlounge.com. Members of the FDH Lounge Pantheon are voted in by the FDH Academy of Arts and Sciences, which is comprised of the FDH Lounge dignitaries and other advisors and supporters of FDH. We hope you enjoy our Pantheon broadcasts as much as we enjoy bringing them to you. In the event of any ties in the balloting, they will be broken on the air by our dignitaries hosting the show. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to induct the sixth class of the FDH Lounge Pantheon. Okay, guys, we are here, FDH Lounge Pantheon number six, the sixth edition of the FDH Lounge Pantheon, starting here with sports categories. Rick Morris, joined by fellow original FDH Lounge dignitary Tim Faust, and joined by another one of our good friends, FDH Lounge dignitary and member of the 21st Century Media Alliance under the guise of Mr. Flatstick. Mr. Flatstick, Tom Denk, pleasure to have both you guys here today breaking these down.
Great to be here for the Pantheon.
Thanks, Rick.
And we have, and this will be a rotating cast of characters, I think, going through the categories here today. Good to get to start this off with you two guys. In this first segment that we are doing of Pantheon 6, it's quarterbacks and goalies going for the best of all time in the different categories here. And for quarterbacks, I have to tell you, we had probably fewer votes for only one entity than we did in any other category. Most of these came in for, you would have a vote for more than one person in the quarterback category. There's just a handful where there was only one vote. There was only one vote, and I'm shocked that there was even that for Joe Namath, of all people. There was one vote for Terry Bradshaw, coming from one of our resident Steeler honks. And there was one vote for Dan Marino, which, to my biased way of thinking, is the most justifiable of the three. But that's what we had there. And then we start getting into this, guys, where there's two votes apiece for these next couple of guys. Two votes for John Elway. Two votes for a man he now employs, Peyton Manning. Two votes for Brett Favre. And two votes for the man who replaced him, Aaron Rodgers. So a couple of different connections there among the guys who got two votes. Three votes, I think we as natives of Cleveland will all be glad to hear this. Three votes for Otto Graham. So yay, students of history out there. Appreciate the Otto Graham votes in the bunch. Five votes for Tom Brady, and I think that's probably not a big surprise. People tend to be looking more at what's happened recently, I suppose. And 11 votes for the winner. Missing out on this. Now, if you have, we had 30 votes total this time, 30 voters, I should say, in the FDH Academy of Arts and Sciences. So it takes 15 to get into the Pantheon within the Pantheon. We did not have this in this category, but 11 votes, nevertheless a landslide, 11 votes for the one that I voted for, the one that you voted for, Tim, and looking down the list here, Tom, voted for Brady. All right, but 11 votes for Joe Montana as the greatest quarterback of all time. So, again, you know, somebody who, you know, I think you would probably agree, Tim, as somebody who voted for him, the consummate winner. You often hear a lot of times winning versus stats, and then a lot of times in the 80s it was sort of portrayed as a dichotomy between the two, between him and Marino. But it's not like Marino didn't win any big games, and it's not like Montana didn't put up any big stats. Montana had pretty respectable numbers, certainly bigger than fellow winner Troy Aikman. Troy Aikman is kind of the epitome of winner, but not really the stats. Montana had both in my book, and I would guess your book also.
Well, you know, surprisingly, I really had trouble with this one.
Okay.
If someone's going to ask you, okay, who's the greatest quarterback of all time, there's so many of them to pick from,
mm-hmm.
that you would think, okay, I can whittle that down pretty quickly in my own mind. But the more I thought about it, the more I tried to whittle it down, I really, because I look at when you talk about the two kind of categories, the winners and the stats.
Sure.
I put Montana Moore in the winners category.
Sure,
the stats
sure.
category. I was trying to find a guy with both of them, and I really, really couldn't.
It's hard, isn't
and it? It is, and the guy who does is the guy you voted for, and that's Brady. And I also voted for Brady, but I couldn't bring myself to because, A, I hate him. B, sorry, I hate Belichick. B, the whole recent thing, you know, I didn't want to be like, oh, you know, you're only voting for the guy who's
right.
you know, done well. But he's the guy that has both. Granted, his stats are in an era where rules are stats friendly, but he's got both, man. He's got titles, three, right? Three, four.
He's got three and two six, other yeah
and,
losses
and one sick one when you know he goes undefeated until he gets upset in the title game and,
yeah
and then another Super Bowl loss and he's got the stats. So Brady, I really can't argue with that. It's one of those where if I had to do it again, it's like. I don't know. I'm not saying I'm apologizing for voting for Montana because he certainly was great. But I guess what I'm saying is this one was a tough one for me.
Yeah, I think Montana was the greatest. I agree with you. But, yeah, that's the thing, Tim. But the way that Tom – the way that it was getting broken down here, Tom, when Tim was going through this a second ago, it's interesting because more like 07 to the present – he's a stat guy also. It's interesting. For the first 5 years or so, he was sort of like the pure winner. But then he's kind of crossed yeah. over the last couple of years. And ironically, he hasn't won a championship since he's become stat guy. But it's almost like they're two different chapters of his career, kind of.
Yeah, the first thing that I had to think of was, you know, you wanted you winner stats. So I was thinking Otto Graham, who got to 10 title games in 11 years, mm-hmm. AAFC and NFL.
Yep.
But, and I hate to be that modern guy, but I was just thinking how the quarterback play in this decade is even more pronounced, I think, than the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I tended to lean and made the choice for Brady. Montana would be my second. But one of the factors was that when you saw Steve Young, whose finest season was better than any of Montana's finest seasons, based on metrics,
mm-hmm.
It kind of made me, and he had Jerry Rice, where you saw Brady had a couple of those years with, like, Rashe Caldwell. That 1 year they lost to the Colts in the title game. So I was thinking that he kind of did more with a little bit less on the receiver front for a part of his career.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that it's, you know, I kind of go on, you know, he has the five Super Bowls that he got to. So that's kind of why I leaned it. Elway would, you know, probably be my third, you know, next out there because he really played with some dreck. And, you know, you can't penalize these guys because they had bad defenses. So there's a lot of factors. I tried not to hold guys that had maybe bad things. So maybe, you know, even a Marino, you know, you can't, you didn't play defense, so you can't hold that against them in terms of the titles. But,
right.
You know, it was funny to see everyone was kind of the same way. I wouldn't have leaned Namath or Bradshaw because I thought, you know, Otto Graham was the NFL all when they did the 75th anniversary team.
Yeah.
He was the quarterback, the number one quarterback on that team. A lot of people
yeah,
forget that.
Mm-hmm. And Otto Graham was another one that crossed my mind when I did this. And this was another reason why I think quarterback is so tough because the game has changed so much.
Yeah.
And at the time that he was playing, no doubt, hands down, winner. Also, no doubt, hands down, good stat guy for the era that he was playing.
Sure.
But can't hold a candle to the stats that are being put up today. So that's a tough one. Again, it's the you know the classic problem of comparing players between eras. I think it's so much more pronounced when you're talking about quarterbacks.
Yeah. Yep. And I was racking my brain trying to think of any notables that didn't get any votes here. If we're talking Otto Graham, as well, I think we should. The other name that jumps to my mind from that era, Johnny Unitas. No votes exactly. for Johnny U. That was kind of interesting. And one of the hallmarks of the Pantheon going back through time has always been how we break things down, how we look at things. If you're looking peak era, I don't know peak era anybody was ever better than Steve Young, like 91 to 94. It's very interesting. He didn't get any votes. And, again, I wouldn't vote for him personally because I'm going to go over the whole body of work, but we've seen enough people that have cast votes for things like peak era that I'm at least moderately surprised nobody voted for him.
Well, there's no one, perhaps other than Steve Young, in their sport where you can look at peak era and talk about how great they were and recognized one of the greatest players of all time as like a Sandy Koufax.
Yes, yes.
He literally had six good years, and that's – sorry. He had six phenomenal years.
Right.
And that's it. That's all he had. And he's Hall of Famer, one of the greatest pitchers of all time in the conversation for all that. So it's funny how, you know, with some guys we say, yeah, he had a couple great years, but that's enough, man. And Steve Young's one of them.
And it's so funny, a name that's going to come up a little bit later on today, Jason Stark, past lounge guest, when we were talking about his book at the time, that was the exact case that he made about Sandy Koufax when he referred to him as being overrated, not in a derogatory term, but relative to how people see him, because people throw out the first part of his career and they only look at the second part of it. So it was really kind of interesting in looking at that. Was there anybody else that you could think of, Tom, that didn't get any votes here? It was kind of
oversight. I was glad maybe? To see, okay, Elway get a couple on there. I think in the doing a lot with little category, mm-hmm, he put it this way: what if he was on the Joe Wall?
Life's been good to him so far.
If he was on the Bill Walsh 49ers, I mean, you could easily see the Montana-level success.
Yeah.
And then, what if you flipped it? So that's a good way of maybe thinking about it. But Young is such an anomaly. He's out there with a big asterisk. It would have been nice to see him get a vote.
Yeah, yeah. And, again, cut short by concussion. He had a couple of years left that he could have contributed as well there at the end. So, as is our tradition here, we hoist the Dundee Award to honor and induct Joe Montana into the pantheon here, our first inductee today. Our next one, a goalie. This was very interesting, and we got some very different definitions that came in here for goalies. I regret that this gentleman, I think, is going to be here for part of today. We'll have to see if we can get together with him. He won't be here to hear this choice discussed. Christopher Galloway, another one of our original FDH Lounge dignitaries, citing the diaphragm as the greatest goalie, which it took me a second to kind of let that swirl around. It took me about a second here to make the connection, and then I burst out with immature laughter, as well you would expect. So we had that going on. Other goalies on the list here, we had Ron Hextall, we had Ray Emery, Joe Hart, Tim Howard, Hope Solo. We had votes for soccer goalies that came in as well. We had Marc-Andre Fleury, who received a vote from a Pittsburgh homer. And we are being joined now, in progress here during this, the great Bob Glassman is joining us as well during the proceedings. We'll have to get him going here as we are being joined in progress here as we're running through the goalies. So these are all the ones, as I say, that got one vote. Christopher Galloway citing the diaphragm. Ron Hextall, Ray Emery, a nice little one-love vote there from the gentleman who cast that vote. Joe Hart, Tim Howard, Hope Solo, a couple of soccer goalies, because I didn't stipulate on this one here. And Marc-Andre Fleury from our resident Pittsburgh homer, Samantha Jones. So those all got one. Oh, and then Jacques Plante only got one vote. So those are the ones that only got one. So now we start getting into the ones that got two. Myself, being the good homer that I am, voting for Terry Sawchuk. There was one other person who voted for Terry Sawchuk as well. Two votes for Dominic Hasek, which I also approve of as a homer. So he was cited twice. Jerry Cheevers getting two votes in this year. And, Bob, you were one of the two who voted for him, were you not?
Love the mask.
Yeah, got to like that. Jerry Cheevers, legendary goalie for the Cleveland Crusaders, as well as in the NHL. Nice to see him represented. Martin Brodeur with three votes, and we see him going strong even today, playing in the Stanley Cup Final this year. But the winner of this with 11 votes and something that is a stab in my soul, something that I hate to see personally, but Patrick Waugh getting 11 votes to win this thing. So I have to say, by the way, we just passed the other day the 10-year anniversary of my favorite hockey game of all time, the 2002 Western Conference Final, the climax of the feud between the Red Wings and the Colorado Avalanche, the 7-0 stomping of Colorado as the Wings advanced to the Stanley Cup that year. Patrick, being serenaded as he's coming off the ice. Fellow dignitary Nate Noy and I were watching that with some amount of glee that night, watching that at a Damon's in Columbus, if I remember correctly, I think. So there's your odd reference for the day, or at least the first of many. So Patrick Waugh takes it, gentlemen. Now, this was kind of well dispersed among some of the other votes here, but any thoughts on this category and how it shook out?
I don't know all that much about hockey. You know,
okay.
That, Rick, that's not my sport. I voted. I was the lone vote for Hextall. I was happy.
Yeah,
to see.
He got represented.
Loved Ron Hextall. You know his feisty personality.
Had a nice run back in the 80s. Definitely.
Yeah. But I got a funny story about this. About the second place winner to play into the. Second place was Brodeur, right?
Yeah, I also hate Brodeur, by the way.
Okay, well, I do as well. I would never vote for him.
Yeah.
Because in my very first first and only hockey fantasy league that I participated in,
okay,
I took Chris Terreri from the Devils, and it also happened to be Brodeur's rookie year.
Did they throw in Wally Pipp for you?
Well, the funny thing is I had a pretty good team.
Uh-huh.
And except for at goalie, every night, and this was the early days before internet, so mm-hmm. or no, we had a we were in school. We had a buddy that had a Prodigy dial-up,
uh-huh.
Prodigy internet dial-up connection, and we dial up the scores every night, and we'd see that the Devils shut out whoever they were playing. They shut them out 3-0. I was like, yeah, I get a shutout for Terreri. Then the next day in the paper, you'd see Brodeur. Who is this Brodeur guy? Why do they keep playing this guy instead of Terreri? So, didn't do well in my fantasy league, but as you say, I definitely got Wally Pipp there.
That is very unfortunate, the way that played out for you here. Being joined now as we're getting a little bit closer to a full house here, the Patron brothers, Anthony and Matt, joining us here for this. I'm looking to see their votes in this category here for best goalie. So you were two of the guys who decided to go European soccer, apparently. The votes
European
for Tim Howard
soccer.
And Tim
Hope
Howard
Solo. And Matt went Hope Solo.
Oh, Hope Solo. Okay, American, so she's not soccer. European. All right.
She's the U.S. goalie for the women's.
U.S. goalie, okay.
So is Tim Howard. Tim Howard's the men's goalie.
Okay, all right. But that's along with a vote for Joe Hart. So we did have a couple of ones here that, I didn't stipulate hockey, I guess, my bad. But Patrick Waugh with 11, Brodeur with 3. I mean, who are the two guys that, unlike Waugh, I don't, loathe Brodeur for anything other than I hold a grudge from the 1995 final. But it's like, not a personal loathing like it is for Patrick Waugh. But of the two guys that I would least want to see at the top here, this is how the results came in. So lest anybody ever think that my thumb's on the scale, these two guys ended up playing out in that way. What did you think about how this shook out, Tom?
Well, I thought Waugh was going to get it. But
sure.
I voted for Hasek. I think he kind of took the butterfly to an art form,
yep,
in terms of goaltending. Waugh, though, to his credit, he's accumulator, got the stats, and he also kind of bridged the era from the high-scoring free-for-all 80s NHL to the modern game where things got really dialed in, and he never lost any relevance and maybe gained relevance, especially on those Denver teams. So all due respect there. And Brodeur was, a guy that impacted the game. They changed some of the rules in terms of coming out, playing the puck.
Mm-hmm.
So, I always respect the innovators and guys that change the position. So those three at the top make a lot of sense.
Well, and say this for him, too. I mean, at age 40, Brodeur is making this run to the final this year, a run that doesn't look like it's going to be successful as it stands now. But you think about it, those teams were always known for the real sterling blue line that he had in front of them. Who's he got there now? It's interesting. I mean, he's got – their defense doesn't suck, but it's the weakest defense that he's ever had in front of him, and he's in the final at age 40.
Yeah, he's kind of a victim against his own system, too,
yeah,
because they've played the, trapping defense all those years, and people always say, well, they haven't faced as much high, but, I think if you got people to watch the game a lot, that would fall away pretty quickly. People wouldn't beat that point in the ground.
Yeah, you would think so. So, any other thoughts on the goalies here, fellas?
Yeah, all I got to say is, okay, you might not have said hockey goalies, but take one look at Hope Solo, then every guy here will change his vote. Every guy here will change his vote and pick Hope Solo.
Again, if we're going to regard female athletes as the hottest females on the planet.
By the way,
it's that kind of thinking that's got everybody brainwashed into thinking Danica Patrick is insanely hot.
And I will tell you, by the way, my thought with Tim Howard, he is the only soccer player in the past 20 years to score a full field goal.
Okay. All that shows is that he was good at kickball when he was a kid, right? I don't think it proves anything beyond that. So, All right. Well, with that being the case, we hoist the Dundee Award, reluctantly in my case, to Patrick Waugh, and induct him into the Pantheon as the best goalie of all time. That wraps up our first chapter here of Pantheon 6.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.